Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Ivan Donaldson from Pegasus Bay. How are you, Ivan?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris.
Excellent. We're going to be talking a wee bit about Pegasus Bay and Wipro as well, but tell me, how'd you get into wine?
Well, I got into wine as a medical student, final year medical student. My wife, Chris, gave me a book, Hugh Johnson's first book entitled Wine. We read it together, fell in love with the book, fell in love with her, married, decided as a medical student that I wanted to have a vineyard and winery, and it was a dream that we pursued from that time onwards.
What age were you then?
Probably 24.
And so, what time before you bought the land up here in Wipro?
Oh, well, I hate to think about that, but I was a medical student in 1966 at that time, and we bought the land here in, let me stop and think, 1985. But before that, I had started the first vineyard in Canterbury, because when I became interested in wine first, there were no vineyards in the South Island, and the South Island now produces over 75% of New Zealand's wine. It was thought that it was far too cold to grow grapes here.
So where was your first vineyard?
First vineyard was close to Christchurch in a little suburb called Hawswell. And it was a group of like-minded nutters, doctors, dentists and the like. And I was the winemaker for that because I'd had amateur winemaking experience.
Homebrew or?
yes, a little bit like that. We tried to be more scientific, but we were essentially amateur winemakers in that, at that stage.
Yep. And then you came out here in 86, you said?
Came out here in 85.
85.
Yes. And we planted our first vines here, 85 through right to the present, just gradually increased the size of the vineyard, really.
And when Wipro here, so that's just north of Christchurch in the South Island, about halfway up the South Island.
It is, yes. I mean, it's the same latitude here as it is at South France, Marseille, but the climate's not the same. You understand, and that's why people thought it was too cold to grow grapes here.
You were one of the first in Wipro, weren't you?
I wasn't the first, but we were amongst the very first people to come here to this area. Yeah. And we came here after having the experience back close to Christchurch. We believed that this was a superior region here, and that's why we moved up here.
I think most of the vineyards in Christchurch at the time were mainly south of Christchurch.
Yes, they were.
And I remember even in 91, I was doing winter pruning in South Canterbury, getting very cold.
Well, indeed. And the reason that Wipro has developed, particularly as a wine area, is that the prevailing wind in most of the east coast of New Zealand, where grapes are grown, but particularly in Canterbury, it's exposed to wind that comes off the Pacific in the summer, which cools the temperature of the land. And here in Wipro, Wipro is a valley. This is Wipro Valley. And on the east, we are protected from the Pacific breezes by this. In fact, we're protected from Pegasus Bay by this line of hills, limestone hills, which are very important. And on the western side of the valley, there are limestone hills as well. So that's very important.
A lot of people may not have heard of Wipro as a wine-producing region. Marlborough, Hawke's Bay for sure. Even Otago is getting a bit of traction these days. But Wipro is one of those regions that aren't commonly thought of as a wine-producing region. How big is Wipro?
Well, Wipro, in fact, the vineyard area in Wipro is almost the same as in the entire central Otago. Wipro is a much more compact area. But if you look at all the areas in central Otago which are spread out, that amounts to about 6% of the New Zealand vineyard, whereas in Wipro there's about 5% of New Zealand vineyard is planted. I agree with you, people haven't really been aware of Wipro to the same extent, but we've found probably in the last 3 to 5 years that has changed rapidly and there's been much more international interest in the wines of Wipro.
We just tasted a... Well, you showed me around, which was quite nice, and the grapes were almost getting ready for harvest, which is good. And then we tasted some of your vinos, which were very interesting. What sort of grape varieties do you think are the standout ones down here?
Well, I think for us, we think that aromatics are vitally important, particularly Riesling. And I think that there's one thing that this area does, it produces Rieslings from dry through to really dessert Rieslings with everything else in between. And I think these are quite exceptional wines. They can age, they have structure, and they have beautiful citrusy and floral aromatics to the wines.
Well, so, the floral parts I really notice is maybe a point of difference, for, well, particularly compared to, say, the limey Australian ones. And
yes, Australian Rieslings are quite a different beast to New Zealand Rieslings. Yeah. They tend to be much more austere, flinty, without the same aromatics and
texture
that New Zealand Rieslings.
And more floral, I thought, than even Marlborough.
Yes, indeed. And I, Chris, that's due to the fact that we have very cold nights, but very hot days. The warmest temperatures, the hottest temperatures in New Zealand are recorded here in Canterbury. And it's because of the Southern Alps, or Main Divide, as we locals call the Southern Alps. And those provide us with the very hot days, and our proximity to the sea provides us with the cold or cool nights. Yeah. And so that's diurnal variation is very important in preserving, developing and preserving the aromatic.
It also lengthens your grow time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, we bud burst reasonably early here, but we harvest probably later than just about any other area in New Zealand. And it's flavours take a slow to develop. If you grow grapes in a warm climate, you often end up with a high degree of alcohol ripeness before you actually get flavour development.
I didn't see any frost protection. Is that an issue here?
Oh, yes, frost is. In fact, everywhere from Auckland south, frost is very significant. And, yes, we frequently have to protect against frost.
What do you use, spraying? Or?
Yes, we have water. We use wind machines as well. All of those things. No, they're there.
Okay. Excellent. So let's get back to, you talked about the limestone hills on the sides. Are you on limestone, or what's your soils?
No, we're not directly. We're on a series of north-facing terraces which gradually drop down towards a river. We are well above the Waipara River, but there is a series of terraces which gradually descend, and they are a glacial moraine, and that's the reason that we came here. It's very special soil, which is stony, freely draining, but has a limestone influence nonetheless, because both the eastern and western sides of the valley are limestone hills, and so the floor of the valley also has a limestone influence, and all the water here, for example, has.
So it's quite hard water, is it?
It is very hard water, and it's very good, I think, for the another two varieties that we grow, and that is Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, both Burgundian varieties, and in that part of the world, of course, grown in soil that has got a high limestone content.
Okay, we tried your Chardonnay,
yes.
Quite nice, quite a nice acidic backbone to it, but nice barrel fermentation there, so it was quite pleasant wine. Pinots, in terms of style, seem to be quite different to both the Marlborough and Central Otago. They seem lighter to me, and bit more like maybe Martinborough, maybe. How would you describe your Pinot?
Well, I think when you say lighter, I don't think they're lighter as in soft. I think they have a backbone.
Less extracted, perhaps.
Yes, yes. They're not as upfront fruit driven as a lot of Central Otago Pinots are, for example. They have a more tannic backbone running through them, which helps them age really well. So they have more subdued initial fruit, but very ripe flavours and very ripe tannins going through the palate. I think Marlborough Pinots often are softer in the finish. I think Waipara Pinots tend to have a very structured form. They tend to be mouth-filling with a, as I say, with a backbone of fine tannins and fine as in ripe tannins, but plenty of tannin. And I would agree with you, they tend to be particularly more like Martinborough Pinots.
You were saying earlier you're actually one of the first places to plant up Pinot in New Zealand.
If you look at the history of New Zealand Pinot up until the early 80s was basically a clone called Back to Bell. It was about the only clone available, and that was one that came from Switzerland, and it was often used for fermentation into sparkling wine. So the first Pinots, I think, of any modern-day substance came out of Canterbury, of which Waipara is the northern most sort of vineyard area. And they Pinots really made New Zealand sit up and take notice. They were, well, you won multiple gold medals and were stunning wines. Mm-hmm. And I think that got the area away to a very major start in terms of Pinot. I think other areas came in with more modern clones, and I think that places like Waipara have gradually replanted or planted additionally these other clones. So there's been a big change in Waipara Pinot Noirs, which have, I think has been great.
You mentioned something as we were going through the vineyard that I hadn't really clocked before about the Mendoza clone for your mm-hmm. Chardonnays.
Yes.
And talking about the hen and chicken going on. I would have thought hen and chicken, you know, that's where you get big berries mm-hmm. and small berries, isn't necessarily a good thing, but you seem to think it was quite good. Why did you think that?
Oh, I think it's very positive. I think if you look at, I think it also applies, in fact, in Pinot Noir, if you look at the clones that have big fat berries, they tend to produce inferior wine. And I think the reason is that when you have a variety that basically doesn't set as well as other varieties, that means the pollination isn't so good. When you have a clone like that, you have all these little berries as well, and the ratio of skin to juice is higher, and all the flavor content, aromatics and everything, is all in the skin. So you end up with a wine that tends to have more richness, more fullness, more flavor, which is a very positive thing.
Do you leave your Chardonnay in contact with the skins for a while?
Not for a long time. We in fact, do allow it to have a small amount of skin contact after it's come into the winery. And the bunches, before they're pressed, we do provide, they are broken for a short while, left for a short while before they're actually pressed.
And the other great variety we tried some of your Cabernet and Merlots, which were okay. I'm not going to get too excited about
it. No, well, I think Merlot Cabernet isn't our, it's not our focus here. Yep. Our focus, although I have to say we've had some very good press with Merlot Cabernet, but it's not our focus here. Our focus is Pinot Noir and white varieties, Riesling in particular, Chardonnay, and also, I think, Sauvignon Blanc blended with Semillon. We're one of the few vineyards in New Zealand to use that traditional blend of Sauvignon, the traditional French blend of Sauvignon Blanc with Semillon. Very few vineyards do that.
I remember coming through here. Oh, it must have been about 8 years ago, and I popped in and tasted it, and I was really impressed with this Sauvignon and mm-hmm. Semillon blend. It's one of those wines that have just stayed with me.
Well, very interesting, but it has been awarded 95 points out of 100 in Robert Parker's Wine Advocate, and it's the highest score ever given to a New World Sauvignon Blanc-based wine.
Yeah, I don't think he likes New Zealand Savvy, though. So.
He liked this one. He liked that. He liked that one. Yes, yes. No, that was really a really high score.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's having said that, I think adding that Semillon, from our perspective, it helps the wine age. I think New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is not a wine that you put away to age. You drink it within a year or 18 months, I think that Sauvignon Semillon, you can happily cellar for 6 to 10 years, and it improves, becomes more complex, mouth-filling, rich, and not just a hit of upfront fruit.
Yep. I noticed when I tried it, actually, it had just a slightly struck match, mm-hmm. slightly reductive note on the nose.
Yes.
Certainly not a problem, and adds a bit of complexity to the wine.
For us, it's not a problem. In fact, we'd be very disappointed if it didn't have it. We strive very hard to get that particular character in the wine, and we would hope to have that also in our Chardonnay.
I didn't see it in the Chardonnay.
You didn't see it. Well, lots of people do.
And
we really try hard to get those characters. We don't try and get them in the Riesling, because Riesling for us is a pure expression of the fruit and the vineyard.
Okay. And what are your big export markets?
Well, we export to probably, at the last count, probably about 30 different countries.
Mm-hmm.
From our perspective, the biggest markets have been Australia,
yep.
US, and parts of mainland Europe.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Belgium has been a big market. And I think increasingly the UK. We have not traditionally... the UK hasn't been one of our main export markets, unlike a lot of New Zealand wineries where that has been the case, but it is, I think it's increasingly over the last few years has become important to us.
And who are your agents, just if anybody's after
yes.
you?
Yes, well, we have New Generation Wines,
mm-hmm.
and they're our principal agents, and we also sell through Margaret Harvey, Fine Wines of New Zealand. I think that from our perspective, it's been very interesting to see this whole area grow. We've been here right from the start, and it's now become a very significant part of the New Zealand wine scene. And we think its strengths lie in its very special climate, unique soils, and the varieties, the mix of varieties that are grown here.
Excellent. All right, then, Ivan, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Chris.